Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Cross in the Desert. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. I had a temporary problem with my microphone, but thank you for your patience. And welcome today to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I'm continuing my teaching series on the Ten Commandments. This is the royal law of God that he revealed to his children, the Hebrew children, the children of Israel in the wilderness, after he brought them up out of the land of slavery in Egypt. And today I want to bring to your attention the Ten Commandments teaching series. Last week we taught about the worship of the only true God. God says, "You shall have no other gods beside me." And so what we have learned in the first commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. And Jesus said that is the first and the greatest commandment. And so in commandment number one, we learn that worship is due exclusively to God alone, that he is the only true God, and that he alone is the creator, the sustainer of the universe, and that the so-called false gods out there that his people would engage in idolatry, he called them idols. He said that they are not really true gods by nature, that I am the only true God. So what we're learning here so far in our series is that there is only one true God, and that our hearts are to be devoted to him and to him alone. And we learned that in commandment number one last week. This week, what I want to talk to you about is how to worship the correct God correctly. This is very important, so that the second commandment is linked to the first commandment. But we're talking this week about no graven image, the sin of idolatry. Let me read to you from my list, the Ten Commandments, and then we will begin our study. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, for that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is commandment number two that we're going to discuss today. I'd like to describe the Ten Commandments as the law of perfect freedom, because often when we hear about God's commandments, we think of no freedom, bondage, and we think of the opposite. But actually, this is the law of perfect freedom. This is for God's people, that they may experience him in the fullest, most productive, biblical way. And this commandment this week is speaking about graven or carved images. And what the second commandment says to us is that God says, do not try to depict me with the work of your hands in carved images or the imagination of your mind. And what that basically means is that God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. What that says, that God is a spirit. God does not have a body of flesh and bones. He does not have a corporeal image. It's non-corporeal. And so therefore, because he doesn't have a physical form, we are not to make an image or a representation of him in our worship. This is very important because a lot of that goes on today, in particularly the Catholic and the Greek Orthodox churches. God clearly tells us that the making of graven images for the purpose of worship is breaking his law. Now, to understand this command, we must understand what it is meant by a graven image. The word graven means carved and signifies or shows that it was made by hand. So an image is a representation or likeness of a real or imaginary person, creature, or object. It's sculptured likeness. It's like a statue, especially one regarded as an object of religious veneration. It's an icon. An icon is like a religious painting considered sacred in the Eastern Orthodox churches. Most icons are portraits of God, Jesus Christ, or saints, and icons are displayed in homes and in churches. Worshippers show devotion by praying before icons, kissing them, or lighting candles. Icons are often even carried in religious processions. Now, idols, icons, are only the work of man's hands. Those that worship these idols made of stone, wood, or any other material are simply worshiping in vain, the Bible says. It is useless. It does not please God in any way. It actually takes away from the worship of the one true God. And this is very important as we examine this commandment. And I can think of my former days when I was a young child in the Roman Catholic Church. I was captivated by the beauty of these paintings of Christ and of the saints. And this was a central feature in the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, in the listing of the commandments, the Roman Catholic Church conveniently sidesteps this commandment. And I guess I can understand why. It's because it's in their liturgy, it's in their churches, it's also in the Eastern Orthodox churches that we have this particular kind of worship. And God says, I am spirit. Do not try to conceive of me in your thinking. Do not try to conceive of me with the work of your hands in fashioning idols, because that does not please me. It is a graven image, and God says no to that, because this was the practice of pagan nations, forming idols with the work of their hands. And in particular, because this is so serious to the mind of God, we see an example in Scripture when Moses was going up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Aaron and the rest of the children of Israel were getting anxious. They're waiting for Moses to return. Moses spent 40 days up on the mountain with God. And by the end of that time, the people were beginning to think Moses had died or left them. So the people urged Aaron, which was their temporary leader, to make gods for them to follow. And in Egypt, they were accustomed to having visual representations of God. So Aaron took some gold earrings, which they had brought from Egypt, and melted them down to make a golden idol. The idol he crafted for them was a calf. But Aaron maintained the name of the Lord in connection with this calf. He was taking the pagan practices they were familiar with in Egypt and worship of the one true God, and they were blending them together. Aaron called the people together and told them that the golden calf represented the very God that had delivered them from Egypt. And so in response, the people offered sacrifice, and they began to engage in pagan rituals. And God was very angry in their response, and he threatened to wipe out this generation. Had Moses not interceded and cried out for their deliverance, that would have happened. But what we see here is an example of exactly what God is saying. It is very grievous to try to imagine the creator of the universe in a visual form. Now, with that being said, what do we do with the person of Christ? In the person of Christ, the Bible teaches that God took on human flesh in the incarnation and came to earth. He joined the human race. He became a man. According to Scripture, Jesus is the God-man. Fully God and fully man. We have pictures of Jesus that we share with our children in Sunday school. And so the question is this also breaking the second commandment? Now, in some Reformed circles, they would say, yes, it is, that this should not be depicting God in any way. Other critics would say, well, wait a minute, this is showing Jesus as a real person in his human nature. What could be sinful with that? Well, what I'd like to do to help us with this issue as we explore it historically is to go to what is called the Heidelberg Catechism. It's question 1696 through 98 is a commentary on the second commandment. And let's read together and see if we can learn from the wisdom of the great men of God through the ages that have talked about this issue. Question: what is God's will for us in the second commandment? Answer: that we in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way that has been commanded in God's word. Question: may we not make any image at all? Answer: God cannot and may not be visibly portrayed in any way. Although creatures may be portrayed, yet God forbids making or having such images if one's intention is to worship them or to serve God through them. Question number 98. But may not images be permitted in churches and places of books for the unlearned? Answer: no, we should not try to be wiser than God. God wants the Christian community instructed by the living preaching of his word, not by idols that cannot even talk. And so to answer that question in a very specific way is that in some Reformed circles, even the veneration of Jesus, images of the cross, or pictures for Sunday school would still be in their minds breaking the second commandment. I would say that I trust the wisdom of these great men of God, and they have done far more study than me. But I would say picturing Jesus as a real person in his humanity, not his deity, I don't think is going against the second commandment. That is just my humble personal opinion. But let's go back to what Scripture says also in the sin of idolatry, visualizing God in pictures and images and statues. We learn in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, God says, therefore, or Moses says to the children of Israel, therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air. Now, what God is saying through Moses is there's nothing wrong with pictures of creation, of animals, of livestock, of hills, of mountains, of birds. He is specifically referring to the practice of making these images in conjunction with worshiping the one true God. And so because God appeared out of the fire, he didn't have a physical form. Beware, children of Israel, that you don't fall into the sin of paganism and idolatry by making a carved image of that. What you think God looks like, making an image of that, is what is forbidden by the second commandment. So then how are we to worship God? If we shouldn't use our imagination, we shouldn't do carved images or pictures of who God is, how do we worship him? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, we worship God according to what Scripture says. When we think of God as being merciful and compassionate and loving, and we reflect on those attributes of God, that is proper worship. We respond to who God is through the teaching of the Word of God instead of responding to what we think God is through images and pictures and idols and statues. And there is a big difference there because in the pagan world, those that would make a god in their own image would create a god out of their own imagination and make an idol of that. Well, what is an idol? Think with me this morning if you're first tuning in. Idolatry is the sin we're talking about here, and it's very specific. It is the making of an image according to your imagination that it takes the place of the one true God. And that is very specific there. Worship is very near and dear to the heart of God. We are to worship him according to Scripture. And what we're talking about here in the second commandment is worshiping the correct God correctly. We respond as a community of believers in the worship service. We lift up our hearts and hands in praise of who he is. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is filled with mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And worship responds to those attributes of the character of God by giving him praise and adoration and thanking him from a grateful heart. And so what the Sunday morning service should look like, it's not an entertainment. It's not catering to the thoughts and affections of people. It's not having a display to make everyone happy. It is a time of celebration and worship and thanksgiving of God. So often, Sunday morning services are catered to the worshiper through some kind of visual, film, or display to incite their emotions. And while there is nothing inherently wrong in that by itself, Sunday morning worship should be our hearts broken before a holy God, remembering how great he is, how forgiving he is, and merciful he is, and that we gather together to worship him, to put God on display in our worship, not ourselves. The Sunday morning service is not about us. It is about God. And so what God is instructing us here in the second commandment, it is for our own spiritual good. He is not giving this prohibition against this so that we would grieve. He is saying, if you want to worship me in the way that pleases me, do not use your imagination and characterize me in your thinking a certain way or make pictures or displays of me because I'm a spirit. You cannot do that. If you do that, you run the risk of using those images and carved idols and things to replace me. And God wants us to worship him according to his revealed word. The pagan world does the sin of creating a god in their own image. This was the sin even of the people of Israel. When Moses was up on the mountain, they decided that they, you know, we have to have worship. We have to do something. You know, why can't we just take God and compare him to this golden calf, and we'll arrange an altar, and we will celebrate that this is the God that rescued us, and God will be pleased by that. Well, in response, God was anything but pleased. He was filled with rage and anger that they would take this golden calf and make a representation in their thinking of who God is and begin to worship it. But you see, this is the problem with the human heart. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can change it? Who can heal it? And God says, I am the only one that can change the heart of idolatry. I am the only one that can heal the heart of idolatry. I am the only one that can put my spirit in your heart and enable you to worship me, to love me according to the word of God. God is a jealous God. He says there, don't do this, because if you do, he will visit you. There will be indignation. He says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation, and then notice the proviso of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. God says, those that hate me will refuse to listen to my word, will refuse to obey my commands, and they will substitute an idol and worship it instead of me. And he says that's sin. But he also says he shows steadfast love to those that keep his commands. And today on the cross in the desert, we've learned something about worship. We learned today that in order to please God in our worship, we must follow the scriptural pattern, not the vain imaginations of our heart, not the pagans of the world who have depicted God in their own way. There's a temptation in our hearts because we're so visual and our culture is so visual that we feel that there's nothing wrong by putting on a visual representation of who God is. And yet God says that is a vain style of worship. That is a graven image. That is the sin of idolatry. And so in order to obey the perfect law of freedom, the second commandment, it would behoove us to worship our great God and Savior according to the biblical pattern, because that's what's pleasing to God. I hope this series will help you in understanding and knowing who God is, and learning to come to him and understanding that he is a generous, a merciful, a kind and compassionate God. He sets down the rules for worship. He wants us to know him and to worship him in spirit and truth. And the way that we do that is coming to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we invite him into our hearts and minds, he will put his spirit in our hearts. He will help us to worship him in spirit and truth. He will forgive all of our sin and guilt, the Bible says. And so today, if you don't know him, today is the day to invite him in and to know him intimately through Jesus Christ. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. I will see you next Monday on the cross in the desert. I want to leave you with this great worship song by Chris Tomlin, based on our teaching today, crown him with many crowns. God bless you. See you on Monday.
Crown him with many crowns. The